It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm BJ Austin. Donald Trump has been promising to come to Texas for more than a week now, but he had trouble finding a venue for a rally in North Texas. Irving and Grand Prairie turned down the presumptive Republican presidential nominee, but today, Gillies said yes. The rally starts at 7 o'clock at the club tomorrow, which is just south of the Dallas Convention Center and near police headquarters. Doors open at 4, and KERA will be reporting from there tomorrow afternoon and evening. The fallout from last weekend's Orlando shootings has special resonance for R.F. Hossein. He's the co-founder of the country's first all-Muslim fraternity at UT Dallas. He talked to KERA's Rick Holter about a new project he's trying to launch called Muslims Against ISIS.
When you first heard about Orlando last weekend, what happened when you saw that the suspect, the shooter, was Muslim?
As soon as I saw that name on screen, I yelled at the top of my lungs in my house, and I flipped out. I was enraged, the fact that a Muslim did this, and it's our holy month of Ramadan. This is when we try to get closer to God and more peaceful, and we focus on tranquility and just our spirituality. And to know that this happened, it just sincerely affected me, knowing that this is totally going to set us back, especially regarding the minority involved. The LGBT community has been with us since the beginning, ever since the 9/11 attacks. They were the first people that stood up for us and have been every time there's been a demonstration against Muslims. They were always there. I'm just kind of at a loss as to how to go forward with this, because now we've really, really offended one of our closest allies here in America.
You've expressed some frustration about the Muslim community reacting instead of being proactive in this kind of situation.
Every time an attack does occur, the Islamic community is there to immediately condemn the attack, as they should. And every Islamic organization will contact any news outlets that will hear them to make sure it is known that this really is not in the name of Islam whatsoever. And that frustrates me, because how long can we be reactive? Is that going to be the status quo from here on?
So how do you be proactive?
Let's take ISIS, for example. They have their own media branch that puts out these messages that are meant to target people on the fence and kind of sway people over to their side. It's propaganda. We don't have a similar sort of thing anywhere. And a lot of their methods are on social media. And yes, we are fighting them on social media, trying to shut down their accounts on Twitter, whatever things they put out on Facebook, shutting down those accounts too. But that's not enough. There has to be an alternative voice. We started Muslims Against ISIS, and that is the first campaign that we're seeing that, hey, these attacks are going on. Yes, these aren't done in the name of Islam, but all these individuals are Muslim, and they are using Islam's teachings in a way that they think is proper and appropriate to suit their needs. We are trying to make that completely explicit, that is not acceptable whatsoever.
How do you combat a message that's as visceral as the ISIS message is? I mean, it's kind of a marketing battle.
Yeah, it definitely is. Right, right. The other campaign we're doing that this will eventually transition into is called Muslims Against Violence, because that is a bigger issue, religious violence. After ISIS goes, we still have Al-Qaeda. We still have a lot of the groups in Africa, and they're going to be putting out propaganda as well.
On your website, the message is pretty powerful, and there's a message of hope. After a week like this, do you still have hope?
Without a doubt. The shooting happened overnight Saturday, but on Monday, I watched news articles reporting Muslims standing in the line at the blood donation center trying to give blood while they were fasting, and they stood out there for hours and hours. Donating blood is the last thing you want to do while you're fasting. But these people knew, these Muslims knew that, hey, this is the least we can do. To just kind of be there with them when the LGBT community has been with us so many times. So yes, I do believe there's hope, but we have to make an effort on our part to make sure that more people like the Orlando shooter don't come up in the future, which is the biggest task.
R.F. Hossein, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you, Rick.
The Orlando shootings have brought another layer of pain to transgender kids and their families. KERA's Bill Zeeble talks with several of them about how they're coping and how the rise of the bathroom issue has complicated their lives.
These families were already feeling the heat. Last month, Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick attacked the Fort Worth school superintendent for accommodating transgender students. Then came Orlando.
I was absolutely heartbroken. Immediately, my daughter's safety came to mind.
Angela Castro's child, Roxy, is a 13-year-old transgender girl. That means she was born with male anatomy, but for most all of her life has embraced being a girl. Mom's advice to Roxy after the Orlando attack targeted the LGBT community? Be cautious, stay close to family, and when necessary, hide that you're transgender.
It's really difficult to tell your child that, but you also explain to them that her safety is at risk. And as a parent, it's heartbreaking to tell your daughter that.
For many of these kids and their families, the bathroom issue is about civil rights. The Obama administration agrees and says transgender children should be able to use the bathroom of the gender they identify with. Dan Patrick disagrees and wants a statewide law insisting students use the bathroom of the sex they were born with. He told KERA, it's not about picking on transgender kids, it's just common sense.
No one should be harassed, no one should be bullied, and people deserve protection. But that does not mean then you take the transgender population and allow a young student who's a boy into the girls' shower at a high school.
Cetha Lacey agrees with Patrick and spoke out at the Fort Worth School Board meeting in May.
I'm a Christian just like a lot of these other people have stood up here. And Lord knows, in the name of Jesus, and I'm using his name, he does not like this at all. He don't like this because a girl is born a girl and a boy is born a boy.
It didn't stay that way in the Teeter House in Fort Worth. Matthew is a trans 18-year-old who just graduated from Byron Nelson High School. For the past few years, he's looked more and more like a guy. Mother Patty says that'll continue to develop with hormones.
Eventually, Matthew will be full bearded and a man, and wait until he walks into the girls' restroom because that's where they're telling him to go.
Before Matthew went through what's called social transition, he felt stuck. Should he use the girls' or boys' restroom in high school? When he used the girls' room, some girls freaked out.
When I went to go use the restroom in the men's room, I had a guy, and he's like, hey, you're that trans kid, right? And I said, yes, and he looked at me, and he said, if I ever see you in here, I'm going to kick your ass.
So earlier in his transition in 10th grade, he wrote a letter to his principal and recorded it.
May I have a key to the staff bathrooms? These are the only gender-neutral restrooms in the school other than the restroom in the nurse's office. By using these restrooms, I would not be in the violation of law or student code of conduct. I'm responsible, I'm intelligent, and I'm transgender.
The school accommodated Matt in a policy like Fort Worth's. He just graduated and is headed to college. There was a time he stopped drinking water during school, says Matt's dad, Martin.
He has all the right to go to the restroom as any other child. He shouldn't have a bunch of dehydrated transgender children running around.
Many of our patients, they avoid drinking fluids.
Dr. Jimena Lopez founded the department that treats transgender kids at Children's Medical Center in Dallas.
Many of them have urinary tract infections frequently because of not using and withholding. I have patients that withhold their urine all day long. They don't go at all to the restroom.
Everyone agrees that's not healthy. For his part, Lieutenant Governor Patrick says if the state doesn't act, parents will pull their kids from schools across the state. Roxy's mom, Angela Castro, has an answer for that.
If it honestly becomes a law here in Texas, we will move back home to California. I would leave, yes. I would not put my child in the position where she's going to be discriminated and then put her safety at risk.
Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
In the forecast, a heat advisory again tomorrow with heat indices expected to exceed 105. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.